Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life. A program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking with Shanna Schutte. She is the author of a book called Betrayed by God and more than 500 articles and blog posts. She's a former writer and editor for Focus on the Family, a regular contributor to Wisdom Hunters. And today I'm talking with her about one of her latest books. It's called 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women, the 90-Day Devotional. Welcome to Life Quest, Shanna.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get into your book, would you tell our listeners a little about yourself and how you came to be an author and just who is Shanna?
Wow, that is a really big question. Okay, so I'll start with the author part. I always tell people who are interested in getting into writing that if I can do it, that anybody can do it. Because my background is not in writing as far as my education. My formal education was an education. Yeah. And I used to be an art teacher. And so I just had a desire to become a writer, and then I sat under Beth Moore for a couple years in Texas. She was my Sunday school teacher, and the Lord started stirring up in me this desire to write. And so that's kind of where it all started, was in the late 90s. And then after that, I just kind of jumped out there like a crazy person and wrote a Bible study and put a seminar together. And then from there, I just, it's like, you know, it just seems like if you have a desire in your heart, then, you know, you never know if God placed that there, because then when you step out into the unknown, then he'll meet you in that place. And that's exactly what happened over and over again when I was first starting out in a writing career. So then I pursued a position with Focus on the Family, worked with them for a couple years as an online editor for their Sanctity of Human Life department.
Yeah.
And then I got an agent, and it was just all from there. And then I got a radio program and just kind of all the pieces.
Wow, fantastic.
Together. So that is a very abbreviated version.
Yeah.
But it was all God. It was really him.
And you followed the usual model of right out of college, you got married and had 3 kids, right?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how it happened for me. No.
It didn't, according to your introduction to your book.
No. You know, it surprised me, too, but I didn't get married until I was 46. That was not my plan for life, but that's how it happened. So, and I am very happily married now.
Lovely.
So I've been married for almost 3 years.
Fantastic. Now, your book, 2 Minutes in the Bible, and it really is good, and we could spend forever going over each one of the 90-day devotionals. But I picked out a few, and let's see where we go with it, okay?
Okay.
And the very first one, the power of gratitude over grief. And that's part of everybody's life, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, gratitude is just this fluffy thing because we hear, you know, make a gratitude list.
Right.
And so that seems like this, oh, I'm going to be happy kind of thing. But in this particular devotional, I talk about how really it's a weapon for our hearts. It's protection for our hearts. It's the way that you rise above your circumstances and start to see them from God's perspective. And he says, you know, that he tells us to focus on if there's anything that's praiseworthy. Well, there is.
Yeah.
There's always something. And so gratitude really is a powerful weapon for us. And I have done this over and over and over again. And I started to do it before I got married, as I came to grips with the reality of, okay, my life isn't turning out the way that I thought it would be. And so I had to look at the things that I could be grateful for, and there's just so many blessings in life, and I think there are for all of us.
In the last part of this section, I really like what you say here. You're looking to the future when you choose gratitude, rather than asking, and this is what most of us ask, why did this happen to me? Instead, you're asking, Lord, what do you want to do with my life now? And that can be surprising.
Yeah, well, and it's, I was just talking with a friend about this yesterday, about she's finding herself in a role that she did not want to be in.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have those positions, those times when God places us in a role we didn't want to be in.
Right.
And so when we look at it the way that you're talking about when you say, instead of why is this happening to me, you're going, okay, God, what do you want to do? What's your plan? And then all of a sudden, this thing that seems horrible, now it's got a redemptive ring about it. So it's like, God, you're going to do something really good. And that's what gratitude does for us, is it helps us look at it from a different perspective.
Over and over in the scripture in the New Testament, Jesus talked about freedom and turning things over to God. In the Old Testament, we see over and over God leading the Israelites, and yet they wanted to carry the burden themselves. And we do that, don't we? We think it's all about us, even though we repeat on weekends in church something quite different.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about that, it reminds me of how we want to do that, because deep down, I think lots of us, we feel like we've been orphaned. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of the way that we grew up, maybe we didn't have a great relationship with our dad, mm-hmm. or even just because of the reality that ever since the garden, we've been living like orphans. There was that separation from God that was never supposed to happen. And so, yeah, we're reconciled to him, but there's still a part of us, I think, that really questions sometimes, God, are you really for me? And so we can get into this whole thing where we're just striving and trying to make our lives work out on our own. And I've certainly been in those places. And when we forget that we're fathered by God, then we try to live independently of him because we're not really sure that he's going to care for us. And so yeah. We've got the striving thing that goes on. So that can be really challenging. But I think the answer for that is just to recognize that, yeah, the Lord is in the details of my life. He does love me. He is my father. And he is caring for me. And then we can kind of let go and rest a little bit.
I know there's a period in life. I have these four daughters. And each one of them had a period of their life where they were saying, you know, Dad, I'd rather do it myself. and our Western so-called work ethic is based on that, too. While we admire people who pull themselves up by their own bootstraps, of course, they never do, really. But, you know, that's what the message is, and that goes into our spiritual life also sometimes.
Yeah, that's exactly, when you talk about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and how, you know, our world kind of admires
yes.
that, mm-hmm. we look at the people who look like they have it all together, and they've got the boat and the house
right.
and the nice car, and they look like they're succeeding, but the reality is not that there's anything wrong with those things. You know, blessings come from God in all different kinds of forms. But sometimes the harder that someone seems to be working, the more fear there is behind mm-hmm. that. This yeah. fear of being abandoned, the fear of not really having life turn out the way that we want. So,
yes.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
How to be content with what you have. And St. Paul talked about that, that he was had learned to be content. But our whole consumerism and advertising agencies are based on convincing us that we should not be content with what we have, but what they're promoting.
Yeah. In the devotional, I talked about this, that, you know, I used to always think that being content meant just to be content with what you have. But what I realized after I studied scripture in Hebrews 13:5, where it says to be content with what you have, because I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, that part of the definition of the Greek word content is to ward off. And another part of the definition or another meaning is to raise a barrier. And I thought that was really interesting, because it's not just about being content with what you have. It's keeping out those things that are going to make you discontent. So I talk about a time when I went with a friend and we strolled around. There was this home tour, I think it was around Christmas time, where you walk through all these luxurious
yeah.
houses. And I went back to my apartment and I felt really discontent
yes,
and unhappy. And the opposite was true when I went to Africa, you know, and
yes.
I spent time in a poverty-stricken area, and I came back and I felt like a queen. So
yeah.
that just goes to show it has a lot to do with what you let in, the images that we let in, who we talk to, the kind of things we read, all that kind of stuff.
I'm suspecting, as I'm going through these various devotionals and topics, that as a blogger and as a person that talks to a lot of people as you speak to them and they talk to you afterwards, you must find some commonalities in people's concerns?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that you must not tell me everything, or you might show up in something that I write.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'm kidding. Yeah, you know, I always find that I write from my own perspective as far as my own experiences, because what I find is that we're really not so different, that I feel like if I have experienced it, that someone else has experienced it too. And that's always the way that I've written, because people really are similar. And so all of the devotionals in this book, they have to do with just real life things like dealing with shame or rejection or being lonely or, you know, struggling with an intimate relationship with God, because we really are more alike than we are different.
If you just tuned in, I'm talking with Shanna Schutte, and she's written 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women, a 90-day devotional. On, if I can call it chapter or devotional 15 or day for 15, it's titled A Revelation About God's Love in Action. And you define, as you just said, from your own experience, you were reading the scripture, you're reading the New Testament one day, and all of a sudden you had this feeling that you weren't measuring up. And then towards the end of this, you say, you know, the accuser, Satan, wants to beat us up with how much we have failed or have sinned against God. And, you know, we're reminded of things that we've asked for forgiveness of 30 years ago. Would you agree with me that sometimes Christians think, well, that's the Holy Spirit reminding us of our needs and our problems so that we will express forgiveness? But you're pointing out, no, that's not the way it is.
Yeah, you know, when you're talking about this devotional here, what had happened was I sat down and I was reading scripture and I was feeling guilty. Oh my gosh, I'm just not measuring up to what I see here on the page. And then this thought came to my mind that the conviction that I was sensing was the purification of my heart that came through scripture. And so then it hit me that the word is not designed, and it's, we all know this in our head, but in that moment it just hit me more deeply, is that God wants to use scripture and the illumination of his word to purify us. It's not to beat us up and make us feel horrible about ourselves. It's actually his love in action. It's his love helping us to become more like him. And so that was his way of transforming me, and he does it for all of us through scripture. So he doesn't want us to carry around the burden of guilt that leads to death, but he wants us to experience his life through scripture. And so I thought that was a real interesting way of looking at it, because the devil likes to twist things around and go, see, you're not measuring up to what God says you should be. But what he says in the Bible, what God says in the Bible is his ideal standard. But we're not going to measure up all the time. That's where his grace comes in.
And dare I say that sometimes even spiritual retreats or meetings, perhaps even church and Bible studies, sometimes slip off into, well, we got to hold the standard high. And so then we get mixed up with how we accomplish that. And some people go away very discouraged from such things.
Yeah, well, and the reality is that we're not good enough for God.
Mm-hmm.
But when we realize that we're not good enough for God and that we're only good because of him, there's a liberation that comes when we recognize that through his grace, that's how we're empowered. But, yeah, I write about a time when I felt that way. I was in a Bible study, and there was a list at the back of this Bible study of all these things that identified a woman as being, I think it was spirit-controlled, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I read that, and I thought, oh my gosh, I just feel so discouraged by that. But then I realized, wait a minute, everything that's on this list is empowered through the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I don't do this by myself. It's God working in me that enables me to accomplish these things. But yes, we can get into the flesh, and that can feel very burdensome.
You know, I've got to mention this, and I've mentioned it on air before, but it made such an impact on me that there was a woman, a Christian woman, who was, you know, married to a husband that was a list maker. He'd make all these lists of things that she should be doing. And the marriage, as you can imagine, went away. Later, she found a wonderful Christian man, and they got married. And she was cleaning out the closet, and she found one of those lists. And she looked at it and discovered that she was doing all those things, but nobody had to make a list for her because of the relationship. And that's how it is with God.
Yeah, isn't that awesome? That's so true. Yeah, that's really a wonderful analogy.
Tell us, I liked in day 20 here, making it through your messy middle. And you use an illustration of, should I watch this movie? And yeah, you had heard something about it and you weren't sure. And then you realized, you say, keeping one's hope fixed on the promise of heaven is like watching a movie with a mess in the middle.
Yeah, that was actually Narnia, because I love animals.
Yeah.
And someone had said, okay, so here's what happened in Narnia, is that the lion, you know, Aslan gets killed.
Right.
And I know he's a figure for Christ, but
yes.
I was like, no, I'm just not going to be able to handle watching that, because I can't stand watching things die. But
right.
So I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. But then later when I found out that Aslan comes back to life, I thought, okay, I can watch this. And so as I watched it, I thought about that. I thought, that's exactly like how life is. Lots of times, you know, in a movie plot, there's a problem, and then there's a disaster in the middle, and then there's the answer and the joy at the end. And that's the way our lives are. We're in the messy middle right now. And the heroes of the Bible, they were all in the messy middle too. And lots of times, like I talk about in Hebrews, when there's the you know, Hall of Fame of Faith, of the people who did all these amazing things for God. They shut mouths of lions, and they escaped the edge of the sword, and they were powerful in battle. But at the end of that passage, there's a list of all these other people who had problems, and they had a lot of mess in their middles. I mean, they were sawed in two, and they were in prison. They were put to death. They were destitute and homeless and hungry and all these really difficult things.
Mm-hmm.
But this world was not their home. And I think we get into trouble when we forget that this is our messy middle, that the real promise and the real redemption that we experience comes later in heaven. But that idea of keeping your eyes fixed on eternity, realize that this is the messy middle, it gives us hope.
You know, as I look back on my life and had some difficulties and some mistakes and things I wished had happened differently, and I realized it was all my fault. I mean, I made choices, and sometimes they weren't the best. We'd like to think everything was somebody else's fault. But on Devotion Day 23, you say something very current. Maybe it's not a good idea to post that post. People do that, and then they're just shocked when on Facebook or Instagram or whatever it may be, when people react, and sometimes negatively.
You know, I call it like throwing rocks on your path. It's like we want a nice path that's like, you know, smooth, and we want to get along with people, and we want peace, and we want joy. But then sometimes we throw rocks on our own path by the things that we do. And in this particular devotional I'm talking about in Facebook or on social media, you know, there's nowhere that you can see the condition of the human heart more clearly, I think. I mean, we see people's gratitude and their kindness towards one another, but then we also see just meanness in a way that is just evil. And so I think for the believer, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, you know, do I need to jump to that conclusion when I don't have all the information? Am I to rush to judgment? Do I just jump on this bandwagon of bad-mouthing somebody?
Right.
But instead, what we do, what we're called to do, is to, you know, make sure that we're careful with our words. And I talk about this in 2 Timothy 2, that we're always supposed to be kind with our words. That, and not only that, but what we say, we're preaching a sermon to the world.
Right.
People are watching. And so, you know, I ask the question, how would the world be different if we took the words of Scripture to heart, and that we would be an example so that others could see Christ more clearly? And I just think that for believers, we have such a responsibility online and in, you know, within a social media presence to be Christ to the world.
And in that venue and in that environment, we sometimes forget our Christian principles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, our emotions, right? Because before, remember back in the old days when you had to wait for a letter to come in the mail, and then you'd have to wait to respond.
Right.
So if you were ticked off when you got the letter,
exactly,
a little bit of time passed, you know, for you to kind of calm down. Now you can immediately respond with a click of a mouse. And so you just, I think, have to exercise discernment and not react, but to respond.
One more.
Okay.
Many Christians have certain expectations, and you said here, much to your horror, God didn't shield you from rejection. And rejection can happen in all kinds of forms, can't it?
Oh, yeah. We can experience rejection on the job or from our mates, you know, close friends. Everyone experiences some kind of rejection. And the rejection that I'm writing about there is my biggest fear was romantic rejection. And it seemed like every time, and from other people, from I just was terrified of people when I was younger, just in a deep way, afraid of rejection. And so, but all of us experience that. But I think that some good ways that we can deal with rejection is to, one, realize that it will happen. And two, to realize that, you know, we don't have to be perfect, that Jesus, he himself was rejected. And I think when we recognize that he couldn't have done one thing better, and he was rejected by people, I think that's liberating. And then to realize, too, that some of our relational knots are just going to stay tied.
Yes.
There's not, you know, there's going to be sometimes that even though you do your best and you handle things according to Scripture, you go to the person, you seek reconciliation, all that, someone may not want to reconcile with you. And those relational knots are going to stay tied up. And I think at those times you give the relationship to God, you pray for the person, you keep your heart right, and don't become bitter.
The book is 2 Minutes in the Bible for Women, a 90-day devotional by Shanna Schutte. Last name is spelled S-E-H-U-T-T-E. Now listen, Shanna, where can our listeners get a copy of your book?
You can go to my website, shannaschutte.com. Again, that's S-H-A-N-A and S-C-H-U-T-T-E.com. Or you can go to wisdomhunters.com, and you can get a copy there.
And the ubiquitous Amazon.
Yes, Amazon.
Shanna, thank you so much for being with us on LifeQuest.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. This program comes to you from studios in the Meadowglade Church, Battleground, Washington.